When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know, that solitary gave me a chance to really sort of organize my my life, you know. I first, like, when I was there and I just looked in the mirror and I was like, why are you here? What is it that, you know, a lot of your friends are graduating college right now, going to start their life, and I am in federal prison in solitary confinement with 7 years to go.
You are listening to Veggie Doctor Radio, and this is episode number 157. Welcome to Veggie Doctor Radio. I am your host, Dr. Yami, board-certified pediatrician, certified lifestyle medicine physician, certified health and wellness coach, author, speaker, mother, wife, and human being. I passionately believe in the power of diet, habits, and mindset in sparking and sustaining well-being and joy in our lives. This podcast combines expert interviews and thoughtful monologues to explore plant-based nutrition, lifestyle medicine, parenting, mindset, and other exciting and fun topics. I hope that these episodes inspire you, uplift you, and equip you with the knowledge and tools to live your best life. Are you ready to get started? Let's do it. Welcome, welcome, veggie lovers. Oh my gosh, this episode is so good. I love this guest so much. We had a fabulous time. I just love his candor. I'm fascinated by his personality and how he's lived his life. My guest today is Juan Carlos Ace, who has produced 3 award-winning documentaries. They're entitled Unsupersize Me, Unsupersize Us, Unsupersize Me in Cuba, about how you can drastically improve your health with whole foods, plant-based diet combined with exercise. He also owns Zen Fitness, a personal training studio in Gainesville, Florida, where he teaches clients to follow a plant-based diet exercise regime. Juan Carlos has written a recipe book, a kitchen starter guide, and a crash course on how to implement a plant-based diet and exercise program into your life. His hobbies are traveling, language study, tennis, music, and kickboxing. And I found him because I happened upon a couple of his documentaries. I haven't watched the last one, but I'll make sure that I put it on my list for this weekend. Before we get to the interview, I want to remind you that the information on this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not meant to replace careful evaluation and treatment. If you have concerns about you or your child's eating, nutrition, or growth, please consult a doctor. This episode is just really great. What a fascinating story. You're going to learn the power of mindset, the power of dedication, the power of resourcefulness. Oh, so many gems, so many nuggets. You are going to love it, but I'm just going to let you listen for yourself and tell me what you think. So without further ado, here is the interview between myself and Juan Carlos Ace. Enjoy. Juan Carlos Ace, welcome to Veggie Doctor Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So I found you one Sunday afternoon as I was just browsing through documentaries. I was like, I don't know what I want to do right now. And I found your 2 documentaries, Unsupersize Me and Unsupersize Us. And the description piqued my interest and I ended up watching both of them. And that's how I learned about you. So this is so cool. I love how things like that can bring us to new people. And I'm just really grateful that you took the time to come on my show. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Well, I listened to some episodes of your show and you have a great show and I'm happy to be on it. I'm honored
Thank
to be
you.
Here.
Thank you. Well, I want to start, you know, I definitely want to talk about your documentaries, but I want to start from the beginning because I found your story to be super intriguing. And I think that there's a lot from your life, lots of lessons learned that will benefit my audience. But I think there's something that was interesting that you talked about in the first documentary was your mother's influence on your nutrition. So tell me, what was nutrition like for you when you were growing up? And the other thing I'm curious about, because you kind of mentioned this a little bit, was mindfulness, whether she taught you about mindfulness as you were growing up in regards to your food and your eating.
Yeah, she did. So my mom was definitely the most important person for me, where I am today with nutrition, and really everything I've done stemmed from her. She really taught me to be aware of how food made me feel, how I was affected. So if I went to another kid's house and I ate McDonald's or some candy or something, she would always say, "How does that make you feel?" So I started to become aware of when I did have fast food or junk food that I did not feel good. I also was into sports. And so, I was aware that she was like, you want to eat fuel that's going to help you perform the best, whether it's in sports or in school or whatever. So I started to really be interested in that. Now, having said that, I did not grow up in a plant-based household. We did have meat, but we did also eat a lot of, vegetable salads every night. So then it just put me on the path to start searching. So I started with a lot of mainstream nutrition. I did the whole protein, dairy thing, you know, the powders. I choked down all those powders. But it eventually, it put me on the path to when I finally came across plant-based, I was like, this all makes sense. Now all these questions I had about why is some amount of protein good, but meat's bad for you, but yet, you know, lean meats are okay. And, you know, milk's good for you, but it's bad for you. Egg's good for you. And it just didn't make sense to me. So yeah. Finally, when I came across plant-based, like a light bulb went off and I was like, this is the truth. This is what I've been looking for. And I've never looked back since.
That's so awesome. And you excelled at sports when you were younger. What sports did you play?
I did a little bit of everything. But I really excelled at tennis. That's what I ended up playing in college. But I love to play. I played basketball, football, soccer. I did track and field. Track and field was my first sport where I did a lot of competition. And so that's where sort of like eating became an important thing, you know, what you would eat before a race, what you would eat, you know, training wise. So I just started really looking into it really when I started in track and field.
And did you, at that young age, were you able to feel differences in how you fueled your body or see differences in your performance?
Absolutely. I definitely noticed a difference. I mean, like one thing I knew for sure is that if I ate sweets or junk food or like fast food, that I really felt it slow me down. I felt myself getting cramps. I knew that I did not perform well on meat or like anything like hamburgers, any, you know, junk food, anything that was bad. I was aware of that. So I would usually steer towards like, you know, salad and green beans and broccoli and spaghetti was a big thing before the races. At the time, that was supposed to be the, you know, carb loading was what
yeah.
they were supposed to do. So I don't quite do it like that anymore, but it was a start.
It's so funny because I have a 16-year-old and he is in track right now and he's an athlete, and one of his coaches was telling him about carb loading, And I was like, babe, you're already carb loaded. You're a whole food plant-based vegan. Your diet is like 75% carbohydrates. You are carb loaded. You live carb loaded. So it's like trying to explain to him what that meant, and having the glycogen in your muscles and all of that was really interesting.
Oh, he's okay.
So yeah, he's doing great. I mean, last year they didn't get to compete, you know, and so he didn't get to make the gains. But this year, every single meet, he's had a PR in, and he has become more interested in his diet and how he can manipulate his diet to help his performance. And it's because, you know, he sees the relationship of, okay, what I eat really does help me. I can shave a few seconds off every time I'm shaving a few seconds off. And so I think that's for some teens, that can really be important to them. That could be a gateway into this long, healthy lifestyle for decades to come, even after they're done competing in sports, you know?
Absolutely. That's why I love Game Changer so much. It was so good. I really saw that film change a lot of people's mind, especially a lot of athletes. They did a great job with that film.
Yeah, I love that documentary as well. Okay, so it sounds like you had a great childhood. You had a bright future ahead of you. You went off to college. What were you planning to do for a career after you got out of college?
You know, I really didn't know. Like, going into college, I was thinking, well, I'm gonna be a pro tennis player. I didn't really think too far ahead of that. But then when I got there, I guess I was thinking, you know, I honestly did not know what I was gonna do. I was thinking something in the business world, I guess. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that you could make money in the health field with exercise and nutrition, because I really loved that. Yeah. So I did not know the answer to what I was going to do. I had no idea.
Yeah. And then you got into some trouble. Tell me how that happened.
Well, so my mom also taught me to be an entrepreneur when I was young. When I told her I wanted a G.I. Joe, I think we were in like Kmart or Pick and Save or somewhere like that. And she was like, well, Carly, you're going to have to earn the money for that. And I was like, well, how do I earn money? And she said, why don't you go sell jade plants? So she helped me pot all these little jade plants, and I put them on my red wagon, and I went around the neighborhood and I sold jade plants for like 50 cents. And, you know, I got enough money for the G.I. Joe. But right then and there, I learned, you know, how sort of like, you know, some people are like these huge spenders or consumers all the time. They don't ever really learn that way of thinking. So that really, I started teaching tennis when I was in high school and saving money. And when I got to college, I had never drank or done drugs or anything. And I tried ecstasy when we went out for like New Year's or something. And they were $25 for a pill. And I was like, man, there's gotta be a cheaper way. We had a great time. And I was like, there's gotta be a cheaper way to do this. So I started asking around, and I said, well, they said if you buy, you know, 50 of them, you can get them for $19. And so I was like, well, let me do that. So at least I won't, you know, we can all do it and have fun and not be broke. And then I started making so much money doing that. It just really like catapulted. Before I knew what I was doing, it was like, you know, I was selling thousands of pills, thousands of dollars, and I was thrown into this world that I had no idea, you know, how I got there. It just happened so quickly. And then I just had all this money, and I was like, it was just like all this stuff thrown at me at once. And I was so far entrenched in it. And I told myself, I was like, well, you're not going to get caught, but if you do get caught, you know, this is your first time, you've never been in trouble, they're probably just going to let you go on probation or something like that. And I saw that happen to a bunch of kids in college. They usually didn't throw the book too hard of kids that were in school. And then next thing I know, I have a federal indictment, and they're charging me with 88,000 pills, and they're saying they're going to put me away first I was like, how many months? And they're like, years, like 20 years. And it was just surreal. It was surreal. So by the time we actually got to my sentence, I was actually happy to get 7 years and 3 months. It was, you know, I had no idea what the consequences were to what I was doing. I had no idea.
Wow. Wow. And that really snowballed out of control very quickly, it sounds like.
Very quickly. And you know what? You're there and there's just nothing you can do. That was really the scariest part, is not being in control of your fate and not knowing what's going to happen, and how all these other people are sitting there deciding what's going to happen with your life. So I just said, I was like, all right, if I can just, the time I was 22, I was like, if I can just get out before I'm 30, I'll have like, you know, still like I'll have some like chance at my life. And so when I got to 7 years, I was like, okay, I think I'm going to get out when I'm 28 or 29. And I just made up my mind when I went, I was like, you know what, I'm going to do everything I can to make use of this time, do things that I would never have been able to do otherwise.
Yeah.
And I did as soon as I went, and that was what I set out to do. And I spent every day.
Wow. What a positive mindset to be able to shift. But take me back, because it just seems like it happened so innocently. I mean, you were this college kid, you hadn't done drugs or drank, and part of it was like, you know, I want to help everybody save money too. You know, we can all get this cheaper. It started like so innocently, and it just, you just got sunk deeper and deeper. Do you have any advice for kids that might end up like this? You know, because you're a good kid, and I know both of my kids are good kids, and mistakes can happen, and you get in over your head, and then it's like, oh my gosh, how did I get here? Any advice that you would have for young people?
The main thing, well, first of all, there are no shortcuts. You know, I was trying to take a shortcut, and I was thinking, well, you know, if I can get by with this, I'll have this money saved and I can start a business or do whatever I want. And that was something my dad always said to me, just said, Carly, there's no shortcuts in life. And that was really, it was a hard lesson to learn, but I definitely learned that lesson there. You just have to be aware that there are consequences, that you can, mistakes of what you can make when you're young, and they can affect you later on in your life, you know, for a very long time, for in my case, you know, 7 years. So you just have to really think about what you're doing. I mean, because I knew what I was doing could get me in trouble. I didn't know what volume of trouble I was facing, like the size of it. But I did know that what I was doing wasn't right in my heart. And I could have gone in and said, you know what, I need to look into what I'm doing here and see what the consequences are. And I never did that. So I think knowing what the consequences of what you're doing is are very important. Know the consequences.
And don't downplay the consequences too, probably, because there's probably part of your brain that's like, don't think about that. We're fine. It's going to be fine.
There were plenty of times where I suspected, well, I mean, the police, obviously the feds were watching us, the DEA, and there was plenty of times where I knew something was going off on my brain. Just things would happen. And I just knew, I was like, you know what, you need to stop this right now. But I always came up with some, you know, oh, that's nothing, you know, don't worry about that. I'm just worrying too much. But I knew that there were definitely signs that things were, we were about to get in trouble. Mm-hmm. I ignored him, you know, because I didn't want to see him.
Yeah. Yeah. And that can happen in lots of different phases of our life or lots of different situations, even when it comes to the way that we're treating our bodies, you know, with our lifestyle choices too. A lot of times we just want to ignore those things and pretend like it's not happening.
Absolutely. I see that all the time. When people come in my gym, or actually usually by the time they come in, they're ready for like, hey, you know, I need help, I'm ready to change. But people that I socialize with and I see, and they're like, oh, you know, I'm fine, you know, I'll, you know, I don't need to worry about anything, nothing's really happened to me yet. And it can happen just like that, boom, and you have a health issue for life, you know, something you could have prevented. Because most of the things that you see that happen to people can be prevented, you know? Mm-hmm. So absolutely. I see people doing that all the time with their health, saying, oh, I'll worry about this another time. I don't have time for this right now. It's too expensive. Who has time to work out all the time? I don't want to work out all the time. You know, whatever it is, people will find a reason to not change and not listen to that voice in their head that they know is right.
Yeah. And it's that motivational triad. You know, we want to conserve energy, seek pleasure, you know, we want to avoid pain. You know, that motivational triad keeps us a lot of times in situations that probably are not in our best interests.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So one thing that a lot of people don't know is that my mother and my first stepfather actually worked for the prison system. So I grew up in Texas, and I grew up in a town called Huntsville, actually.
Oh, Huntsville, okay.
Yeah. So there's 8 prisons there. And I grew up actually living on state property where the inmates would mow our lawns and do the repairs on our house and everything. So I was surrounded by prisons. And, you know, I hear it's pretty rough. So can you tell me a little bit, was it a big shock to your system, or was it better than you thought it was going to be? And is it true that you were in solitary confinement for 6 months?
Yes, it is true. I'll go to the beginning part of that question. So in the beginning, you start in the county jail, which is like a dungeon, and it is horrible. No daylight, just you're in this cage 24/7. So then I started to hear that, well, once you get to the prison, you can play guitar, you can play, you know, all these sports, you can take classes. And so that was really like my hope at that point. Like, I was like, if I can just get there, I just need to get there, and then things will be better. So by the time that I actually got to prison, which was, it took like 9 months for me to get there.
Wow.
To get sentenced and moved and everything. I was in the county jail 6.5 months, and then I was in the transfer center in Tallahassee, and then I finally got to the prison. And it was much better than what you would have told me if before I ever got there. I was happy. Like, there was a lot of stuff to do. I could go work out outside. We could play sports. I was starting to learn Spanish, learn anything you want to learn. So I just had all this time to do whatever I wanted to do. Now, having said that, prison can be very dangerous. There are gangs there. There's people that are generally unhappy and are unstable. But there are also a lot of normal people that just made a mistake. So I found that people that are, if you're just respectful to people in general, that you can avoid most of the problems that a lot of people get into just from not being a respectful person. I was in solitary. That was probably the scariest time, without question, of my whole prison experience. So I went there because, and I didn't really know why I was going there. The lieutenant called me up and said, take him to the SHU. So I went into the SHU, which is the solitary housing unit. And I didn't know why I was there for 2 weeks. So my mind was just running. I was thinking, well, are they charging me with something else? I mean, I just didn't know. I had no idea. So your mind is going crazy. And finally they said, your co-defendant is here and the prosecutor doesn't want you to be with him. So my co-defendant, who was one of my best friends, Brent, was there, and we were, you know, hanging out together, studying together, playing sports together. But the prosecutor decided that he didn't want us to be together. So since Brent was there first, I had to go to solitary. And it took them 6.5 months for them to move me to Arkansas. So I went from Georgia to Arkansas. Now I'm from Florida, so it was pretty far where I was going. And I realized that it was because I had tried to take a shortcut. It was from not doing things the right way when I knew how to do things the right way. So that's when I made a vow that I'm going to do things the right way from here on out. So I started every hour in solitary. I had something set up for myself. I would do yoga for an hour. I would meditate for an hour. I would study Spanish for an hour. I'd write letters for an hour. I'd read for an hour. I'd stretch for an hour. Work out for an hour. I had everything set up, so I was constantly keeping my mind engaged. So by the time that I actually got to prison, I continued to do that. And I always had something new on my schedule that I was going to learn. So whether it was you know, maybe a new language, or it was business, or it was nutrition, exercise, especially with nutrition and exercise, that later on became my focus and specialty. I really tested my body. Like I worked out at one point up to 5 times in a day. So I learned, like, okay, this is too much. You know, that's where I honed the Unsupersize Me program, that an hour of cardio, an hour of resistance exercise is really the best for maximizing your health. And then I started studying nutrition, reading every book I could find. And it took me really until towards the end of my sentence to discover plant-based. But that's how I discovered it. I just kept reading and searching and looking, and then testing my exercise on myself. And then people would come up and say, "Hey, I want to work out with you." And I would just say, okay, you know, what they call getting in your car. You know, in prison, it's like, what car are you in? What workout car are you in? That's like your workout group, basically. So, you know, you had like 4 or 5 guys in your car, and then new guys, when they'd come in, you know, you'd really give them the hard smash workout and see if they could handle it and if they were going to stay in. So sometimes they made it, sometimes they didn't. But I really, that's where I really learned to train people. And I learned, like, okay, these exercises don't work. This is too hard for this age group. You know, these people are having great results doing X, Y, Z. So it's really like I honed everything that I now use in my career during that time. And I tell people that I would never take back what happened to me going to prison, because it really, I learned so many important life lessons there. And a lot of people think, oh, he doesn't really mean that. But I really do mean that. It was really the most profound learning experience of my life. And it set me on trajectory of where I am now. And to be honest with you, like, it's really hard for me to be stressed out about anything, because I've never faced anything like that since. You know, there's nothing that I've come across in life now that was that kind of volume of just pressure and fear. So now it's like everything is just, I really enjoy most everything I come across in life now after that. I enjoyed a lot of things in prison too. I had a lot of great experiences there, some great friends that I still keep in touch with. So it changed my life for the better. It was a decision that I made to do, but anyone could really do it that wanted to do it.
And now for a very important message. Hey, veggie lover, if you are looking for free resources to guide you on your plant-based and healthy living journey, go to dryami.com/free for tons of free downloadable PDFs. Hundreds of people have taken advantage of my tips to help them reduce meat and dairy consumption, navigate eating out, and build satisfying plant-based meals. Download one or download them all. And don't forget to share with friends and family. DrYami.com/free. And now back to the episode. I'm just super impressed, because I feel like, and this is like a weird thing to think and say, but if there's going to be a personality type that is going to thrive and come out better after prison, is going to be your personality type. I mean, you're so disciplined. You're like, your mindset is, I just feel like if that happened to me and I was in prison, I think I would go the opposite direction. Like, I feel like I would just be like listless and hopeless and just like lay around and do as little as possible and just feel sorry for myself all the time. But you took it the opposite. You were in solitary confinement for 6 months. That seems like not ethical to me that happened, but whatever. I guess they did it. They decided they were going to do it. But anyway, so you solitary confinement for 6 months, and you chose to put yourself on a regimen of greatness. I mean, I think that's impressive. I mean, seriously, that is very, very impressive. And probably the majority, 99.9% of people would not do that, you know? So very, very impressed by that.
Thank you. Tell me. I think that you would have been able to make that change. Now, I'm not going to say that I went through a stage where I was like depressed and down and at rock bottom there, but eventually, you know, you got to snap out of that. You know, that's a normal feeling to happen, but I think you would have got past it. And then you see like, hey, I have the opportunity to do anything I want to do, anything you want to do. You have all this time that now people are so busy and no one has time to do anything, you know, like to, you know, learn a language, learn an instrument, do something fun and exciting and different. But you see, like, I can do any of that. I'm in this controlled, you know, environment, but you can do anything you want with your mind.
Yeah. I mean, that's super cool. I mean, it's a mindset thing though, right? Because really when it comes to, you had a lot of your control, you had a lot of your free will taken away from you, but a lot of that is mindset too, because what you're saying is the ultimate amazing thing that we have is our minds, and you still had your mind. You still had full control over your mind. So if you have your mind, you have the ability to use it, it's limitless. So you were able to take that little switch and be like, actually, this, in some ways, this might be a good deal. And you became like the prison personal trainer, you know, and you got to hone your skills. In some ways, that's pretty cool.
You know, it was, you know, there's been, I'll be honest with you, there's been times where I have missed it. I not like I want to be back in prison, but I missed that time and focus that I was able to have in there. Because, you know, when else are you going to be able to learn four or five times? You know, you have learned four or five subjects at a time. And, you know, do yoga and do, you know, do exercise and play in a band. I mean, I was doing so many things that were so cool. And that was my entire focus. That was my entire focus, was just on bettering myself. So there are times when I was like, you know what, those are really good times. I would like to do that lifestyle again sometime.
Well, maybe we should like create some sort of prison-like experience that's not really prison, and create something, because I could see how stressed out moms in particular might enjoy solitary confinement for a week or so. Like somewhere where my kids can't find me and nobody's asking me to pay any bills, just send me there.
You know, I read that they were actually doing that. I think it was in like Korea or something, that you would pay money and they would take all your, you know, your phone, everything from you, and be in solitary for a week.
That's funny. We're getting to that point. Okay, so tell me how the book and the literature stuff works. And how did you find, I had seen on the documentary that you read the China study while you were in prison. Like, how did you find that book? Is there like a library, or how did you come upon, what was your path in nutrition that finally led you to the plant-based information?
Okay, that's a great question. So I was, there is a prison library, but really you can have books sent in to you. So everything I wanted to learn, I would just tell my family, hey, I want to learn French, I want to learn German. And they would send me these books of, you know, whatever it was that I was interested in at the time. So, okay, where was I going with that? I started thinking about all my language books turning. Oh, the learning nutrition. Okay. So I started getting this rash on my neck. And I couldn't figure out what it was. It was like it itched so bad. And so I went into the prison doctor, and they're like, oh, you're gonna have to put this steroid cream on. And I was like, okay, well, how long do I have to do that for? And they said, well, for the rest of your life, it's an autoimmune response. And I just did not accept that. I just did not accept it, because I was, you know, I was young, I was quote unquote healthy, I thought. You know, I was eating tons of dairy. And, you know, protein, tuna, mackerel and tuna are like, actually, they're actually money in prison. A lot of people don't know that, but it's like a dollar for each one. That's like your currency. That's how important protein is. I mean, I'm telling you, it's money. It's money there. So, I was like, I have to find why this is happening. So I started like searching, and first I read Andrew Weil's book. I think it's called Optimal Nutrition. And he said, well, you know, start eating less dairy and meat. If you're having this, it's an eczema, it's an autoimmune response. So this, I had this rash, I want to say on and off for like 3 years. And I switched to plant-based and it was gone in 2 days.
Wow. 2 days.
And it never came back. So I was like, man, but I'm never going to be able to eat meat again. I just don't know. Like, what about, am I going to lose my muscle? And I was like, well, let me just, you know, I don't want that rash back. So I'm going to do it for a month and see if I lose any muscle. And all of a sudden, it's like my body fat dropped. I was performing better in sports. I was sleeping better. I mean, I would have so many times where I eat a heavy meal of meat or something and I wouldn't sleep. And I just thought, you know, I don't know. I have a sleeping problem. But that never happened again. I didn't get tired in the middle of the day anymore. I was just so much more focused, so much more clear, and I felt great. I was stronger. And so I was like, okay, this works. I'm sold on this. So the China study had happened right before that. My neighbor was reading it. He was like, hey, Carly, you know, you should read this book, but I mean, you're going to wish you hadn't read it. Like, there's some things in there you're going to see, man. And he's like, and I was like, what could he be talking about? Like, what could this be? And then when I read it, I was like, oh my God, this goes against everything I've ever learned. It was such a radical idea. And, you know, T. Colin Campbell is like very just methodical, presenting you his facts. Like, this is this, we did this for 27 years. You know, these people get cancer, these people don't. These people get heart disease, these people don't. Diabetics, no. So like every disease you can think of is gone for people that are plant-based, you know? So it was just, it was startling. And I remember his name was Jeffrey. I was like, okay, I see why Jeffrey was, why he was saying that about this book. But it was, so I tell people all the time, like, see, if you had to read one book, like what is the most influential book? And I say China Study without a doubt, got to read that book. I mean, that is the Bible of health. There's going to be nothing that matters more in everything you do in life than having your health right. And this book will tell you why. And so that book and Outliers are my favorite two books that I tell anyone to read. I always have all my trainers read those books before they start.
That's awesome. So was it easy for you to eat plant-based in prison? Can you make requests that way? Or what kind of foods were you eating at the beginning?
So it's not easy. It's not easy. It's actually kind of a funny story. So the only way to get vegetables is to be like outside of what they serve on the line, which is very like limited, like maybe beans, you know, it's not great food. So you have to be either Muslim or Jewish so you can get the common fare. So I was like, okay, and I'm not, I hope I'm not offending anyone who's religious, but I said, you know what, I think I need to become Jewish. So I went and I did this interview with the chaplain and I was like, hey, you know, I want to be Jewish and I'm interested in that religion. And so he kind of was like asking me some questions about, you know, the Torah. And I was like, you know, I just don't know any of that stuff. I just want to learn it. And for whatever reason, he allowed me to change my religion, which means now I can eat the common fare and I can get vegetables. So that was the way that I had to get vegetables. So I would take these vegetables to the dorm. And I, you know, you had to sneak them out because, you know, they've given you raw vegetables and you're not supposed to take anything out of the cafeteria. But I would take it and I had a little mackerel can and I would, you know, cut them up with the top of my mackerel can. And that's where I learned to cook, actually. That's where I learned to cook, in the microwave. I would cook all my vegetables together. So
it's just like the best story ever. I mean, like the resourcefulness that you have to be like, okay, I got to change my religion so I can get vegetables. And then I'm going to take this can to cut my vegetables, cook in the microwave. I mean, that's dedication. So I mean, discipline, dedication, resourcefulness. That is a lot of great qualities that you have, Carly.
You know, it's funny when you say it that way, because at the time I just didn't really, you know, these were my only options. So I was like, okay, I thought about getting on common fare for a good year. Before I actually did that, I was just thinking about how I was going to get this done. You know, it seemed like it was impossible. But yeah, when you put it that way, it does sound pretty, it's a pretty crazy story.
But I know I have heard that they are changing it for prisons so that prisoners, the inmates, can get more plant-based foods. But I also know that a lot of the subsidized foods end up in prisons. So a lot of the cheese and the processed meats and stuff, they get funneled to prisons because they have to be bought up. And so then they get funneled to prisons.
And they are like at the end of their lifespan. Like they would not be sold in regular stores. That was one of the things I noticed, like when I was first there, if I would ever, whenever I would eat the ribs, like I would feel bad for like 2-3 days. Mm. And at first I was like, could this really be that? And I ate it again. I was like, all right, oh, I know I'm not eating that anymore. This is before I was plant-based. But the quality of meat was awful. Tons of cheese there too. The guy in charge of all the food, he was like the head CEO of the cafeteria. He got on the Atkins diet. And so he actually made the Atkins diet a thing for the inmates. So all these guys are like, oh, I can get double meat if I do this Atkins. So they're actually doing like keto tests. And I'm like looking at all these guys that they're just poisoning. Mm. And all they're eating is meat and pork skins. Mm. I mean, I can't think of a worse diet to give somebody. But that's actually what they were promoting. And it was like, you know, they all thought they were doing something good and healthy. And he actually believed he was helping these inmates. So I know he had good intentions. But I have heard that some places are actually doing more plant-based. I think it's a lot of state prisons. They seem to have like a little bit more control mm-hmm. over that. But I mean, what a great way. I mean, there's so many people that I think could have been like their emotional issues or like these
yes.
issues that they're having of anger or whatever could be totally fixed if they just were working on a farm and eating fresh vegetables and doing some exercise.
Yeah, can you imagine? It seems like of any people, of any population, the people that would probably benefit the most from eating more plant foods are inmates. I mean, we're getting in there, we're, you know, paying our time, trying to improve ourselves so that when we get out, we have a better chance. But instead, you're eating like the worst of the processed food, it sounds like. I mean, that's not helping anything.
No, wow. It's unfortunate because it is totally not geared to help people. It is housing, and it's just like a budget thing, you know, for the government. Fill up the prisons, you know, pay the whole prison industry, and you got to keep them full. And it's unfortunate because it's not at all about rehab. Like, if you want to better yourself, you have to take the control. You have to take the power to do it. They are not at all trying to help with that in any way. Mm. And there was only one person the whole time I was there. She was a psychologist from some school, I think, in South Carolina when I was there. And she actually is the reason I got certified as a trainer, because she was like, you know, they saw that I was doing this workout thing, and this other doctor that was an inmate, I was helping him lose weight. And he said, hey, Mrs. Harris says, you know, you should get certified, Carly, and I think you should do it. I think it'll be good for you. And I had never thought anything about this at all. And it ended up having a big impact on my life. So she actually had the test sent in for us so that we could take the test. And then she got a CPR certified, where they actually brought someone in from the outside to give us our CPR certification. And that was totally unheard of. Totally unheard of. Like, someone was actually doing something to try to help me. And so then when I got out, I had the certification that allowed me to, and I had all the pictures of all the people I had trained. For some reason in my head, I just said, let me take these pictures of these guys before and afters. I don't know why. Maybe it'll be good for something someday. And it turned out that my friend had opened the first personal training studio in Gainesville when I got out. Now, I wasn't thinking like, oh, he was going to give me a job or anything. I hadn't talked to this guy in years. But I happened to see him when I was working as a dishwasher in a restaurant. And this is my first month out. I saw Josh there, and he was like, hey, Carly, it's good to see you, man. I'm glad you're out. You should come check out my gym. So I was like, I'd love to. So I went over there, and I showed him my pictures of the people I had trained and that I was certified. And he was like, oh, wow, man, that's great. You know, I'm going to talk to my partner and see if we can get you a job here. It wasn't anything I was expecting. I was really just showing him, because it's like, oh, this is what you do too. You know, that's what I did. And then that's where I got my first job as a trainer. I couldn't believe it. I was like, people will pay for this. I was shocked, but it was like, this is what I love. I knew immediately, like, this is what I love. This is what I want to do.
Wow. That's awesome. And it sounds like it was a lucky break too, because it wasn't super easy finding a job when you got out.
No, I think I got turned down 14 times, including my mom's, the Hippodrome, like the theater where I grew up. I grew up and there, I was in all the plays. That was just where my parents were. So I was there all the time. But I got turned down for working at a cash register. I got turned down working in like a store that had sold health food and supplements. And I got turned down for like some sort of woodworking job. It was like rubber stamp, you know. Mm-hmm. So finally, when I went to Dragonfly, and it's like, you know, the halfway house is like, you get a job or you're going back to jail. So there's this pressure to get a job. And I went to this sushi restaurant, Dragonfly, and they're like, yeah, man, you're hired. And I had no idea, like, wow, these guys are great, you know. But I realized that washing dishes is some serious hard work. And
that's why I don't do it.
Use the dishwasher. They didn't care. Like me and the other guy had also just gotten out of prison, and I was like, oh, no one wants to do this. That's why they just gave me a job doing this.
Oh my goodness.
It is difficult to get a job. It is difficult. I actually want to start something to help people that really want to change and just happen to have an opportunity, like a support system for them to learn. To do an entrepreneur of some sort. I'm really thinking about how I'm going to do that.
Yeah, because it's got to be hard. You know, you've served your time. You're ready to change your life and get back into things, but nobody will give you that chance, you know?
Exactly.
And that's got to be really depressing. And for some people, that might put them right back to where they were before, because that's what they knew how to do before they went to prison, you know?
Absolutely. There's no question about that. And I just wasn't like, I knew with everything I had done, I just was not going to give up. I did not let it make me depressed or like lose confidence or lose faith that I could do it. I was just like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to try because it's going to happen. And a lot of people just don't have the support system to even do something like that. You know, I had a support system of my house. My mom was, you know, took me back to the house and was helped giving me rides places and stuff. And a lot of people don't even have that. Like, you have to have some support system to get your shot, you know?
Yes.
I mean, what if you can't have a phone? These were all things that, like, I had the support system that helped me do what I, you know, just to get my foot in the door. Just give me a chance to get my foot in the door. Mm-hmm. And everyone deserves that. Everyone deserves that.
Yeah.
So I that is on my list of things I want to accomplish, is to start something to help people just get out of prison that really do want to make a change.
I love it. That's such a great vision. So you ended up working as a trainer for your friend, but then eventually you started your own gym. So tell me about that journey.
So when I started there at Alter Ego, right away, I got this one client who was sort of interested. He was like, I told him about reading the China study, and he had these great results. I mean, he had a huge belly and he looked awesome very quickly with working out and eating plant-based. And so everyone in his neighborhood saw him and said, hey, I want to train with the guy that Nick is training with. So all these people started coming in and asking to train with me. So I was like, I mean, I was so loaded, my schedule. I was working like 13 hours. Anyone that has trained, or like, well, 13 hours of anything, everyone knows it's a long time. But I mean, it would be dark when I get up and it was dark when I got home. But I loved what I was doing, and I was motivated to do something bigger. And I was there for 3.5 years. I did not like that there was so much confusion about nutrition there. And I didn't feel good about what some of the other trainers were like. I mean, they were great guys, but I just didn't feel like they were helping people. I mean, I knew they weren't helping people. I knew they were not teaching people to eat the right thing. And I was like, man, if I had my own place, I wouldn't allow this. You know, I would want it to be what is really going to help people, what they came here for. So at the end of 3.5 years, meanwhile, in that time, I was learning everything. I learned like how they did contracts, how they did, you know, sales, advertising, what was working, what wasn't working. So then 3.5 years in, Josh said he wanted to sell this place. And I didn't have the money to buy it at the price he wanted, but it gave me, like, I was very loyal to Josh. He's in the first movie. He's actually in the first movie. And I just, that was why I didn't want to leave, because people were saying, oh, you need to start your own place, man. You've got this great thing going. You need to start your own place. And I was like, I just can't. Josh gave me this opportunity. I don't want to leave him. And he gave me the freedom to move on to start my own place, which was extremely nerve-wracking and scary, by the way.
I am so happy that it's almost summer. It may seem like you're going to have lots of extra time to be lazy and spend lots of time in the kitchen, but let's face reality. Summer brings lots of traveling and spontaneous activities, and you don't want to be stuck planning meals, shopping for groceries, or laboring over a hot stove. Make life easy, like summertime, and try out Green Chef. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for eating well, delivering pre-portioned and prepped quality whole foods with limited process ingredients. Green Chef sends organic, fresh produce and chef-designed recipes in every box for satisfying, nourishing, and convenient meals that make it easy to stick to a healthy living routine. Listen, you don't want to get home from your trip to an empty fridge and nothing to cook. You're tired, you're jet lagged. The last thing you want to do is go to the grocery store. Green Chef is your summer lifestyle lifesaver. You can even take Green Chef meal kits with you to your vacation rental. Easy peasy. Find recipes for every lifestyle, including plant-based diets. Green Chef delivers quality whole foods with limited process ingredients, including low added sugar and sodium smart options. You get to choose from 80 plus flavor-packed options that allow you to take back time in your kitchen and have dinner ready within 30 minutes and lunch in 10. Try 15 plus new recipes every week. Here's the best part. Green Chef delivers everything you need to make convenient, wholesome, and delicious meals directly to your doorstep. Each meal kit includes pre-measured ingredients, as well as some produce that come already pre-chopped, and custom sauces that are pre-made in-house. They also provide the recipe cards, and the meals are very simple to make. It's a delicious, fresh, home-cooked meal without the hassle. What I love most about Green Chef is that it takes the stress out of cooking. The recipes are easy to follow and everything you need is included. So even less experienced cooks in your house can prepare a delicious home-cooked meal. We have loved using Green Chef in our household and it's perfect for any season, especially if you want fresh, home-cooked, healthy meals to put on the table. Don't let the summer vacation schedule throw you off your healthy eating lifestyle. Make it easy to stick to your healthy eating goals with Green Chef. Go to greenchef.com/IamHuman50 and use code IamHuman50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. That's greenchef.com/IamHuman50 and use the code IamHuman50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And now for a very important message. Hey mama, if you are feeling frustrated about mealtime battles, worried that your child isn't eating enough or eating enough vegetables, afraid that your child is going to get some awful deficiency or disease because of the lack of diversity in their diet, I wrote a book that might be for you. A Parent's Guide to Intuitive Eating, How to Raise Kids Who Love to Eat Healthy is available in paperback, ebook, and audiobook through all major online booksellers. Did you know that most children are born with the innate ability to eat the appropriate amount of food to satisfy their hunger and support appropriate growth? Despite this, parents are still anxious and confused about how much and what to feed their children. In addition, many children are labeled as picky eaters or develop behaviors such as hiding and sneaking food. There's also a growing epidemic of dieting behaviors and eating disorders beginning at alarmingly young ages. In my book, you'll learn the 5 pillars of healthy eating, how to apply intuitive eating through all the stages of development, lifestyle habits that support healthy eating and body image, troubleshooting and problem solving for picky eaters, overeating, and dieting behaviors, how to create and foster a healthy body image in your children, how exploring your own body image and relationship with food will help raise an intuitive eater, and what foods to offer your child at different stages of development. A Parent's Guide to Intuitive Eating, How to Raise Kids Who Love to Eat Healthy, available in paperback, ebook, and audiobook through all major online booksellers. Are you ready for a fresh approach to feeding your child? For more information, visit dryami.com/book. And now, back to the episode.
It was another one of those moments of like when I first got in solitary, when I looked in the mirror, even my mom, who always believed in everything I did, and she was like, Harley, I don't know, the economy's bad. It was like 2007. I don't think people are gonna wanna spend money on training. And I just looked at myself in the mirror again. I was like, do you believe in yourself or do you not? You believe in yourself, you need to do this. So I took all the money I'd saved and I leased a place. And I was going to train during the day, and then at night I was hammering nails, painting with my dad, putting flooring in. So by the time I finally, and I actually didn't have enough money, so I was using money, I was making money and using it. So by the time we opened our doors, I had $0 in my account. I
remember that very, very clearly.
And I'm like, okay, now I have this $5,000 lease. we got to do this. So after the second month, I was profitable every month after that.
Wow.
I was fortunate enough to have a huge clientele that followed me. And then I was like, okay, I can get more trainers to work for me. So I was getting trainers, teaching them about plant-based and my style of exercise. And now I have 8 trainers that work for me 13 years later. And it's awesome. It's awesome. It is my dream job.
Wow, what a story. That is just such a beautiful story and so amazing that you had that. And it does. I'm an entrepreneur. I have my own business, and it does take a lot of courage to do it, you know, because I think most people will tell you not to. Because,
yes,
you know, they want to keep you safe, and it's always a risk, right? You never know how it's going to go. So you really do have to have that courage to jump out there. So from the beginning in your place, you kind of alluded to that you have a policy that your trainers, do they all teach plant-based, or how do they talk about nutrition at your place?
So when everyone starts, I say that I want you to watch this movie. So they watch my films. They read the China Study. And I say, I want you to make your mind up for yourself. I'm not forcing you to do anything. I just want you to read this information and then tell me what you think. Now, if you do decide you want to go this route, then I do start them a little bit higher in the pay scale. Because I just said, I'll be honest with you, I've been doing this, 20 years, and this is what works. If you want people to get results and you want people to come back to you and their friends to come sign up, I've done it all. This is what works. And I've done it in these films here, so you can see it for yourself. So I would say that 80% of my trainers are plant-based. I have one trainer who is a bodybuilder who's been with me since 2010. And he's a good friend of mine. He is whole foods, but he does eat meat and dairy. I've gone through different phases with that where I was like, I don't want this here. But I mean, the guy is so loyal. He's a good friend of mine. And we just respect each other's viewpoints, mm-hmm. So I was like, I need to have some flexibility in that area. Maybe someday he'll come around. So if anyone's like, I am not doing plant-based no matter what, then they can go with him. But he does still teach whole foods, like mm-hmm. lots of fruits and vegetables, but he believes the protein equals meat. So that's where we differ in that area. But the majority of my trainers are plant-based, yes.
So cool that you're able to have a place like that. I mean, that's really, really fun.
I'm actually building, the new building's supposed to be ready in 2 months in July. So my facility, like the one I'm in now, I'm leasing it. And so it's not exactly like how I would perfectly want it. So the new one is going to be exactly how I perfectly want it and have envisioned it. And I'm going to have like a smoothie bar there. It's going to be so awesome. I'm so excited about it.
Hey, my ears perked up at smoothie bar. So I'll do any workout if I get a smoothie afterwards.
Absolutely. We're very bored.
I love it. So what would you say you're most passionate about now?
Most passionate is, it's still plant-based and exercise. I mean, that just comes into every area of your life, every area of your life. Because I think that, you have to, if you want to enjoy life to the maximum, you have to be feeling good. You have to be feeling good. You have to be thinking clearly. You have to sleep well. You can't reach your optimum health if you're not eating plant-based and doing exercise. So that's number one for me. Outside of that, I've really gotten these creative projects. So I love doing the films. And if you watch the evolution of the films, you can see how much better I became at filmmaking. Like when I first started doing the film, like I had no idea how to do any of that. I just was whipping out a camcorder and I was like, I'll figure out how to edit this later. And, 1 year later, I was like, okay, it's time to edit now. So I spent I must have spent like 9 months trying to learn that program, Final Cut. But then I learned you have to do music. Oh, you have to do the sound. Oh, lighting matters. Oh, you can't have this camera shaking around. So the first one was good though, because it was just so spectacular. Every time I look at it, I'm just like, wow, I can't believe we did that. I can't believe we did that. Yeah, I mean, it still amazes me. I also cringe at like, oh man, you really didn't know what you were doing when you did that. But then after that, I really got into like all the different parts of the creative outlet, because there's so many different facets, that you have to know. And so then the last one, I started doing my own music, because, well, actually I did my own music for the majority, but I would do like these songs that were like more involved. Mm. So I did, in the last one, I did two songs, like one that was in Spanish, reggaeton song, and then one that was in English rap, because that's when he came to the United States. Did you know I had Unsupersized Me in Cuba? Did you know?
No, I didn't see that one. How do you access that one? Because I accessed the other two from the Amazon.
It's on Amazon also.
Okay, I'll have to look for that one because I only saw the first two.
Yeah, that one was, I actually went and filmed that in Cuba. So the whole point of that one was I wanted to show people that like you could have like no resources. Mm. And you can still do this. There's no reason. If this man in Cuba who has nothing and can't afford to go to a gym can make this happen, then everyone can do it. So, I mean, it was like, I had him there for like 6 months. I was filming him while we were in Cuba, And his dream was to come to the United States. And he had actually tried 11 times and failed. Like Coast Guard, Cuban Coast Guard, and then American Coast Guard. Five times, four times, and then two times the motor didn't work. And I was like, I don't know how this movie's going to help you get to the United States, but it's going to help you somehow. I know it. I know it's going to help you get there. And so after we did the whole movie thing, he saved up enough money to pay someone so he could get a visa to go to Mexico. And so in Mexico, he called me and said, "Hey, Carly, I'm gonna cross the border if you'll vouch for me." And I was like, "Absolutely, man." So I talked to ICE and I, you know, sent all my paperwork in and stuff. And after 3 months of being locked up in that jail there, they let him, he called me. He's like, "I'm in an airport in La Tuna. I don't know where I am." I was like, "All right, dude, hold on. Let me get you a plane ticket." So I got him and he came and lived with me for 2 years. And now he's got his papers finally. And, you know, he's working here and he loves it. I was not planning on being in the film. It just, I was like, you know what? I should go ahead and put this into, because this is interesting and it affects a lot of people. So that was the second part of the film was, you know, his life in the United States and you know, how it changed and what that was like for him to come to cross the border and come here.
Wow, super cool. Yeah, definitely want to watch that. That sounds like a really fun story. The main character from the first movie, I can't remember her name. I know that she ended up moving from Florida. Yeah, Tracy. Yeah. Do you still keep in touch? Is she still eating a plant-based diet?
I do not keep in touch with Tracy. She ended up getting a boyfriend, which was really something I really wanted for her, you know, because I went through the whole thing with her where she, you know, she's 345 pounds and it's just hard to find someone when you're that size, let's be honest. So at the end, you know, she lost 200 pounds and she met this guy. And you know, they seemed like they're really in love and I was so happy for her. So she moved away with him. Now I guess I wish I could have I don't know, done some sort of screening, but so the guy is like a, wings and beer and pizza, football. And Tracy, she just wanted someone to love her, you know? Yeah. And she just, wasn't strong enough to say like, I don't want to do this, you know, basically. So she got so deeply involved with him that, you know, we were really close for a long time. And I wish that she could find her way back because I know that she can, you know, she has the ability to do that. I mean, she was of all the people that I've trained and worked with, she was the best. I mean, she followed everything to a T. She worked so hard. She did everything right. And, you know, she deserves to have that. She deserves to have that back. So
yeah.
Oh, if you're listening, Tracy, I know you can do it. Give me a call.
Wow. Well, maybe if you do it again with another person, the last phase can be a like whole food, plant-based speed dating set, you know, section. Set it up with another person.
That's a good idea.
So they talk about like, you know, there should be some sort of vegan dating app or something like that, but it'll be like the whole food, plant-based, you know, version of that. So.
Yes. I think that would actually be good because I hear a lot of people say that, especially for girls that are plant-based, have a really hard time finding guys because it's an important thing, you know, an important thing.
Well, and especially when it's this central to your life and your identity, I think, you know, and there's not that many people. There's definitely clusters of people, different places, but depending on where you live, it might be harder to find.
Yeah.
Well, what do you wish more people knew?
I wish more people, I mean, I'm going to get to some other stuff, but a plant-based. it just is so, it's so difficult to see people so confused about what good nutrition is. Mainstream media just, you know, and the bottom line is, it's just, there's not money in it for them to propagate that. I wish that more people knew about plant-based because that's why I did the films, because I just wanted people just to know. Just to know. And I've seen the effect it's had on so many people. They're like, oh, wow, I can do this. And I think if everyone is eating plant-based and exercising, everyone's just happier. everyone is happier and the world would be a better place. So I honestly just wish more people knew the truth about what good nutrition is.
I love it. Amen. And tell me, what personal habit are you most proud of and why?
I would say just, I don't give up. I don't give up. I have learned to be really bad at something and just continue and know that if I keep on this path, I am going to conquer this thing. And I think everyone has that in them. They just, people aren't comfortable being bad at something in the beginning, you know. I really do believe that you can learn and do anything you want to. And I've done that over and over and over again with some very challenging subjects. So that's what I'm most proud of.
I love it. No, I am one of those people. I am such a perfectionist and I am so type A that I hate being bad at something. And recently I should tell you this. So when I was watching the first documentary, you know how you were having Tracy try different things? And in one of the things that you had her try was tennis, and she had never played tennis before, and you got her a coach. And when I saw that, I suddenly got a craving to learn how to play tennis. And I don't like games because I get bored. And okay, I just get bored of games. I'm not a game person, but it seemed really fun all of a sudden. I was like, you know, maybe I should learn tennis too. There's a lot of my friends play tennis. So I told my husband, I was like, you know what? I think I might learn tennis. And he got excited because he likes tennis. All of my family, my kids and my husband, all like sports and games. And I don't like games. And so I told him, and he was like, you know, tennis is good, but why don't you learn pickleball? So pickleball originated here in the Pacific Northwest. So, and I live in Washington State.
I just started learning that, by the way. I just got to say.
That's so cool. So I was like, okay, but I don't want you to teach me, because every time he tries to teach me something, I end up crying. So I called the next day and I got myself a lesson, and I took my first pickleball lesson. But it is hard. Like I have to give myself a lot of self-talk because I hate not being able to do it right away, you know? And there's probably a part of me that's very competitive and I just want to win right away, which is not going to happen. So I feel like I'm not doing good if I'm not winning. So I've taken my first lesson. I played one game with my family, and then I'm hoping to go back and take some more lessons and learn. But I want to thank you because your film inspired me to try something new and challenge myself, even though I'm not going to be good at it for maybe a very long time.
Wow. Well, I'm so happy to hear that. No one has ever told me they've been inspired to play tennis from that film. I've heard plant-based exercise, but never tennis. That's awesome. So I used to be just like you. I totally relate to that. For me, it was so difficult to not be good at something that I'd be like, oh, that's stupid. I don't want to do that. No, it's a waste of time. And so actually when I went into prison, they have the race games, and they were like, so the white guys grabbed me and they're like, all right, we want you on the team. You know, it's like you have the white team, the black team, the Spanish team. It's not politically correct at all. And so they're like, oh, this guy's a good athlete. Let's throw him in softball. I had never played a lot of softball. I'd done a little bit, but I thought, no, I'll be okay. And I immediately proceeded to just get burned for a grand slam. They put me out in the outfield. And from tennis, you always charge forward, you know. You're going in. And so I immediately ran in thinking I was going to make this great play. And it just burned me. And I was like, oh, you know, this game, whatever, this game's stupid. And so finally, after a couple years, and this by this time I had learned, you know, a few languages. I learned guitar. I went back and they were like, hey, do you want to play softball? So I started in the C League. And I sucked, and eventually I got good. I learned, I accepted that it's okay to not be good, and I am going to get better. And that was one of the greatest lessons I ever learned, because I became comfortable with being bad at something, you know, and knowing that you are going to get better. The brain is amazing. It's going to learn, it's going to adjust, and you're going to get better. You're going to be the best you can be if you stick to it. Doesn't mean you're going to be the best in the world, but you're going to be the best you can be. So that, I applaud you, stay on it. because it's life changing. It's life changing. Once you learn to be bad at something, it's hard when you're type A and you're used to being good at stuff.
And you know, for each of us, there's certain things that we're more uncomfortable with. And I try to tell myself, discomfort is the catalyst for change. You know, we cannot change, we cannot improve without discomfort. It's impossible. But there's some areas in my life that I'm willing to be uncomfortable. And sports and games is not one of them. So I like literally have to tell myself that it's going to get better. It's going to get better. It's like my mantra. Don't worry, you're going to get better. So I'll report back to you in a year when I become the pickleball champion.
No, I'm going to see. Maybe we could play mixed doubles because I'm just learning too. And I love pickleball. It is so much fun.
Yeah.
We'll have to go out and play a tournament. We'll go dominate the Texas.
Let's do it. Oh my goodness, Carly, this has been so awesome. I love your story. So thank you for being so gracious and coming on my show. I hope that someday you will go on the motivational speaking circuit and motivate so many people and so many young people with your story and everything that you've learned in your life. So thank you. I appreciate you for that.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to be on your show and I've enjoyed it. I love talking about that stuff, and I'm so happy that we're able to like help spread this message. You know,
yes.
I love the support of the plant-based community. You know, want is people to be healthy. That's all we want.
Yeah, no, and hopefully more people can find you. So tell us where we can connect with you, and tell me about products and services you offer. I thought I saw that maybe you also do some virtual training for people that don't live in Florida. So tell me about that.
Yes, I do. So I have the book. I have a kitchen starter guide, just like basic stuff to get. Then I have all my favorite recipes for like a 10-year period, from different countries all over the world. And then I have a course that I put together. I'm like, I need to make something because people always say, hey, I want more after they see the film. How can I do this? So I basically summed up the program I did with Tracy in that 1-hour class. Now, the online coaching I do where I have a face-to-face with them, so it's month-to-month, and I always tell people my goal is to help you within 1 or 2 months so that you can do this on your own. You don't need me forever for this. So I teach them exactly like, how do I do plant-based? How do I go to the store? How can I eat out? And then I also design a workout program for them because a lot of people just don't know what to do, and there is a really way to make it efficient and to get the most out of your time in this busy world. So based on what their injuries are, their schedule, so I make them a personalized workout plan, and then they have to text me every day after they do it. So there's accountability. Like every day I want to see a text from you telling me about your workout. Because, you know, who are you lying to? Are you going to lie to yourself? You know, I mean, like you need that. People will do it when they have that texting. So that was one of my favorite things that I put in that program. And so I meet with them twice face-to-face, like every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks we do a face-to-face meeting, and I get to, you know, help measure their progress and really just watch like their lives change to being so much happier and feeling so much better. It's one of my favorite things to see.
I love it. And how can people access all of your information?
It's all on unsupersizeme.com. If you go to the products page, they have, you know, all the stuff that I just listed.
Perfect.
And they can access any of it. Or they can just email me.
Okay.
CarlyZenfitz@gmail.com.
So we'll put everything in the show notes. And how about on socials? Are you active on any of the social media?
I am not super social media active, but I will check it. So I have my own personal Facebook and Instagram, and then I have Unsupersize Me. It's just so many. To keep up with.
Yeah, I get
you.
I'm
on Super Size on Facebook and Instagram. You know how it is. I got to make another post. So I try not to get too sucked into the Facebook world or the social media world, but you can get in touch with me there. And then I have the YouTube channel, Carly Asse, which I also have all my music videos. I forgot to tell you, that's something I'm really passionate about. I've been making these music videos for my songs, and it's so much fun to do. I do it with my brother and one of my friends. So I've been putting that on my YouTube too, if you want to see some.
Cool. Well, we'll definitely link that. That'll be fun to watch.
Songs or, you know, motivational songs.
Nice. Well, and if you have reggaeton, I love reggaeton. So it's
Okay, fun. I'm going to send you the reggaeton. You have to tell me what you think. Where are you from?
Panama.
Panama, okay. Yep.
So, yes, we definitely have the reggaeton in Panama there. So,
and you know I'm half Cuban, right?
No, I didn't know that.
Sí, soy cubano.
Qué bien, qué bien. I actually have a podcast episode with a Cuban American who went plant-based and created a cookbook of Cuban foods that are plant-based. And so, I'll give you the information afterwards. Okay, so.
What's his name?
It's up here somewhere. It's Raivel Hernandez, I think.
Okay.
I can't remember the last name, but it's in my bookshelf. So I'll get it after we're done recording. Okay, awesome. So the last thing is to leave us with one call to action for the week. What is one thing that my listeners can do this week to improve their lives?
My favorite thing, and people ask that all the time, like, what's the best thing? I think, well, number one, I'm going to say eat more plants, more fruits and vegetables. But if you want to narrow it down to one thing that I see that does so many good things for your health is turmeric. I try to eat turmeric like 2 to 3 times a day. I have noticed just like I recover quicker, less inflammation, never get sick. I mean, you never get sick when you're plant-based anyway, but I really can feel when I'm eating turmeric, all the health benefits. You just feel generally better.
Cool. Yeah. And how much do you take whenever you take it?
Oh, I usually just cut off a little piece.
So fresh turmeric, like fresh turmeric root.
Yeah, but I mean, the powder works too. I like to do everything, fresh if I can. But certainly you can get good powder turmeric also. And I would take like 2 capsules, like if I dry it and crush it up, then I would say like 2 capsules, like 2 or 3 times a day whenever you're eating a meal.
Cool.
With a little bit of black pepper in there. Dr. Greger told me that.
Yeah, to add with the black pepper. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. That's definitely a suggestion, a call to action that I have not had before. So I'm happy to share that one for sure. Okay. Well, Carly, this has been so, 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 so awesome. I cannot wait when we become pickleball champions of the world together. Keep on doing all the great work that you're doing. And I hope that you have a very plantastic day.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you letting me on the show.
Hey, veggie lover, I hope that you loved today's episode. Will you take a second and do me a huge favor? Please subscribe to my podcast so that you never miss an episode. You're the reason I'm here, and I want to share it all with you. Thank you for listening, and have a plantastic day.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.